Darwin's theory of natural selection came very late in the history of thought. Was it delayed because it opposed revealed truth? Because it was an entirely new subject in the history of science? Because it was characteristic only of living things? Or because it dealt with purpose and final causes without postulating an act of creation? I think not. Darwin simply discovered the role of selection, a kind of causality very different from the push-pull mechanisms of science up to that time. The origin of a fantastic variety of living things could be explained by the contribution of which novel features, possibly of random provenance, made it to survival. There was little or nothing in physical or biological science that foreshadowed selection as a causal principle. B.F. Skinner. Nothing is at last sacred but the integrity of your own mind. Ralph Waldo Emerson. A metaphor from geology. In the early 19th century, geologists pondered a fundamental question. Great caverns and canyons, such as the Grand Canyon in the United States and Vicos Gorge in Greece, reportedly the deepest canyon in the world, existed all across the globe. How did these majestic formations get there? Invariably, there was a stream of water that appeared to take advantage of the opportunity to course through these natural structures. But prior to the mid-19th century, it had seemed absurd that these gentle flows could be the creator of such huge valleys and cliffs. British geologist Charles Lyell, 1797 to 1875, however, proposed that it was indeed the movement of water that had carved out these major geological modifications over great periods of time, essentially one grain of rock at a time. This proposal was initially met with ridicule, but within two decades, Lyell's thesis achieved mainstream acceptance. One person who was carefully watching the response of the scientific community to Lyell's radical thesis was English naturalist Charles Darwin, 1809 to 1882. Consider the situation in biology around 1850. The field was endlessly complex, faced with countless species of animals and plants, any one of which presented great intricacy. If anything, most scientists resisted any attempt to provide a unifying theory of nature's dazzling variation. This diversity served as a testament to the glory of God's creation, not to mention the intelligence of the scientists who were capable of mastering it. Darwin approached the problem of devising a general theory of species by making an analogy with Lyell's thesis to account for the gradual changes in the features of species over many generations. He combined this insight with his own thought experiments and observations in his famous Voyage of the Beagle. Darwin argued that in each generation, the individuals that could best survive in their ecological niche would be the individuals to create the next generation. On November 22, 1859, Darwin's book, On the Origin of Species, went on sale, and in it he made clear his debt to Lyell. I am well aware that this doctrine of natural selection, exemplified in the above imaginary instances, is open to the same objections which were at first urged against Sir Charles Lyell's noble views on the modern changes of the earth as illustrative of geology. But we now very seldom hear the action, for instance, of the coast waves called a trifling and insignificant cause when applied to the excavation of gigantic valleys or to the formation of the longest lines of inland cliffs. Natural selection can act only by the preservation and accumulation of infinitesimally small inherited modifications, each profitable to the preserved being. And as modern geology has almost banished such views as the excavation of a great valley by a single diluvial wave, so will natural selection, if it be a true principle, banish the belief of the continued creation of new organic beings or of any great and sudden modification in their structure. There are always multiple reasons why big new ideas are resisted, and it is not hard to identify them in Darwin's case. that we were descended not from God, but from monkeys, and before that, worms, did not sit well with many commentators.